Couple conversations out there. I'm going to invite you back to your seats for the reading of God's Word. One of my favorite things to do is just stand up here and be like a fly on the wall and looking at all the conversations. It's really great. Brings a lot of joy. Okay. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John. We've been making our way through the book of John, and this week we are going through John 15, 15, 1 through 17, if you can read with me. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be in my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. I'm going to read that again. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy may be in you, my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another.
So last night, I got a text from Jason, who was supposed to preach today, and he said, I am sick. I think I might be able to make it tomorrow. I'll let you know. And then at 5 o'clock this morning, I got a text, said, I'm really, really sick. So I remembered back to my seminary days, and in seminary, we had an assignment where they handed us a note card with a passage on it, and only a note card could we use, and then in 5 minutes, we had time to make a message, okay? So I'm going back to those days where I'm just letting you know ahead of time that we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to work today. I was part of the preaching team meeting on Monday where we went over the passage, but I have not been immersed in the passage like I normally am when I'm preaching, but it's a beautiful passage, and we want to preach it this morning in a way that will honor the Lord, and I hope encourage you and challenge you. And it's just, again, one of those beautiful, beautiful passages where Jesus is calling us to stay connected to him and what that can look like. So I'm really praying that your hearts would be open to what the Lord would have today, and I'm really praying that the Holy Spirit will work in and through me despite. And then to top it off, I was walking out my back door last night, and I went whoop, boom. And so I'm moving kind of slow today, so we got all that going on. So hey, just a reminder, pray for your pastors. Because we get the flu and we wipe out on our back decks, just like everybody. Well, maybe you don't wipe out on your back deck, but I did. And so Just remember to pray for us, especially Saturday nights. I'm going to give you a little clue. I've been at this a long time, right? Our Saturday nights are not like your Saturday nights. And so be praying for us on a Saturday night because the enemy can really come and be around us on a Saturday. We're not just going out and having a fun night doing things. We're usually thinking about our message that's coming up. Even if we are out doing something social, always in the back of our mind, we're preaching tomorrow. So remember to pray for pastors and pray for them particularly on Saturday. I do believe there's such a thing as spiritual warfare, and that's one of the times that it gets really real is on Saturdays. And also then just that we can keep our minds focused on what God wants us to be doing on Sunday morning. So with all that in mind, I'm going to invite you to take a moment and will you just spend some time before the Lord, confessing your sins before the Lord. That's one of the things we do during this time. And then ask you to pray for me that I might preach the word accurately and truthfully, and that the Holy Spirit would help me today more than normal because I didn't have a chance to prepare as much as normal, and then that he would use it in your life, all right? So let's take a moment and let's do that together. So grateful that the power is in your word, not in the speaker of your word, not in the preacher of your word, that it's in your word. So I pray that we would hear your word today and that we would apply it to our hearts and our lives and just hear the beautiful parts of what Jesus is telling his disciples. And so would you give us ears to hear, and would you help me to preach it in a way that is accurate to how you wrote it and what you want to communicate to us today. Please be with Jason. Help heal him quickly so he can be back on his feet and do the things that you've called him to do here in the next few days. And we just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to remind you where we've been. We've been going through the book of John, and we are at this place now, starting in John 13, where Jesus is moving towards the cross. And as he's moving towards the cross, he is giving his final teachings to his disciples. These are all the things that he is trying to help give them the foundation that they're going to need in order to stand firm and strong in what they're going to experience when Jesus goes to the cross. He's going to die, be raised again from the dead, and then there's going to be a lot of fruitful ministry in front of them yet to do. And to do all of those things, endure his death, wait until he rises again from the dead. And we know by looking forward in the passage in John that there was a lot of doubt and confusion while they were waiting. And then Jesus is going to raise from the dead, empower them with the Holy Spirit, and they're going to change the world. They're going to change the world so much that the gospel is going to come all the way to you and I in Duluth 2,000 years later. But they're going to need to have some teaching and some understanding of what's going to happen in their lives and what they're supposed to do and what God's going to do in order that they might have a foundation to endure. And here's the thing, that same stuff is for you and I today too. Because we're living in a world where we need the foundations and the strength of the gospel and the strength of the teachings of Jesus so that we can stand firm, so that we can endure, and so that we can do what God's called us to do until the end. And I don't know when that's going to be for any of us, but I know each day I'm moving closer to the end. And I want my life to be about what God wants it to be about in this journey until we get to that place, right? And so the scriptures are going to tell us and help us to understand what is my part and what is God going to do in order so that I can be faithful in my discipleship and my faithful in my walk with Jesus. And this is a powerful, powerful passage today. And I just hope that you'll keep your ears up, even though your messenger might falter, that you will hear the words of John and Jesus here in John and see how that matters in your life and matters in my life. And this is how Jesus starts out. He is going to use an analogy. He's going to use a picture. Might not help be super helpful for you if you don't come from like an agricultural background, but I think it's enough of a picture that if you've ever even had a plant at all, you can see this picture and what Jesus is trying to say. But he's going to use word pictures that help us so that we can go, oh, okay, I can see that. I think I see how that works. And he's just going to start out here in John 15 and use the picture of a vine. Now, we kind of assume that we're talking about a grapevine because grapes were like a big deal in the Middle East at that time. But we don't have to think even like a grape like that, but just think of a vine. When I was a kid, I grew up in a family of 8 kids, and there was 4 boys and 4 girls. In an old farmhouse, and all 4 boys were in this one big room. And one of my brothers loved plants, and for some reason, he decided to grow ivy across the top of our bedroom. And so we had all these strings across the bedroom, and it was completely covered with ivy. And so we kind of felt like we'd like to think that we're in some kind of a plant dome, but most of us had nightmares because of it, because it seemed like these plants that were crawling across were on movies and TV shows that we would see, and we didn't sleep that well in that room with all those plants. But you know what I mean by a vine? Use an ivy vine then, right? If you clip part of it off, it gets disconnected, and it dies. Jesus says, I'm the true vine. Now get the picture. Jesus is the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So God the Father is the one who tends the vine. He's planted it, he's cared for it, he's taken care of it, and the vine is growing, and Jesus is the vine. Jesus is where all the nutrients and all the, I wish I knew better how plants all work. I'm not good at it. My wife is great at it. I kill them, she keeps them alive, okay? But this is the kind of a picture that all of the nutrients, everything that a branch is going to need, is coming from the vine. But this is even a step farther. The Father is the vine dresser. He's the one who's tending it. God the Father is taking care of it. And he tells us here now, Jesus says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So he's showing this picture that, okay, so the vine is growing, the vine has branches, and the branches are us, and God is giving us the sustenance to grow and to bear fruit. And he says, when it's not bearing fruit, he'll prune it off and take it off. But I love this part. Every branch that bears fruit, I'm praying that that's me, he prunes. Oh, man, I wish he didn't have to do that. Because that's sometimes the painful stuff. Wouldn't it be great that if I just stayed connected to the vine and the vine would just pour in all the good stuff and I would produce all kinds of fruit and there wouldn't be any little things that the vine dresser needed to clip off and take off of the fruit that I was bearing. But that's not how it works, because as that's happening, all of a sudden a shoot comes off that's bad. All of a sudden a leaf that isn't producing the right kind of fruit needs to be taken away. The Father prunes you and I. He's working in you and I. He's pruning us and getting rid of the junk. And we're like, oh, does it have to be so painful? Do you really have to get rid of that junk? Sometimes I kind of like that junk. I want to hold on to that. But Jesus is saying this really powerful thing. Some don't bear any fruit, and those branches are taken away. But the ones that are going to bear fruit, he needs to prune them that they might bear even more fruit. Let me ask you this question this morning. Are you willing to let God do painful work in your life so that you could bear more fruit? I tend to want him to bear more fruit without doing any kind of painful work. But there's usually stuff in my life that he needs to take care of. He needs to get out of the way. He needs to prune so that I can produce more fruit, the fruit that he wants to produce, which is what? The fruit of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, right about now, that feels kind of overwhelming, and we just be like, okay, all right, another one of those making me look at myself, and, you know, I know I fall short, and what's the good news here? Here's the good news. He says in verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Abide simply means stay connected to. All right, so when you hear me say the word abide, I'm probably going to stop each time and say stay connected to. But if I miss it, remember that's what we mean. Abide can be kind of one of those words. What's it actually trying to get across? It's simply saying this. Jesus says, stay connected to me, and I'm going to stay connected to you. And Just like you can't, a branch can't bear fruit if it's been snapped off the vine and just set over here, you can't either, but if you stay connected to me, you're going to bear much fruit. As the just see that again. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, unless it stays connected to the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Here's the good news. Jesus is saying, hey, you don't have to do this on your own. In fact, you can't do it on your own. In fact, if you try really hard, you're going to be like a branch that's been snipped off and set over here. You have to stay connected to the vine. You have to stay connected to Jesus. And then he is going to stay connected to you as well. Here's the beautiful part, right? He says, abide in me, stay connected to me, and I'm going to stay connected to you. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to stay connected to you. Your job is to stay connected to me. Jesus is saying, I'm never going to falter. I will always stay connected to you. You're the one that will sometimes be disconnected from me. So stay connected. And he says, I am the vine, verse 5. Get the picture, Jesus is saying, guys. I'm the vine, you're the branch. Whoever stays connected to me, and I stay connected to him, he's the one that will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. What does that mean, apart from me, you can do nothing? What does nothing mean? Let me hear it. Nothing. We're crazy sometimes. We're out there trying to do all this stuff on our own strength. And Jesus is saying, come on back over here. Stay connected to me. Abide in me. Stay connected to who I am. And guess what? I'm going to do some pretty good things in you and through you. It just kind of makes me smile sometimes because I think of myself and then I think of you, and then I think of people I've ministered to over all the years, and I scratch my head and say, man, we're funny sometimes. It just says, stay connected, because you can't do anything without me. And yet I try to do all kinds of things without him. And how does that usually work out? How does it work out for you? Probably the same way it works out for me. Not that great. The moment I think I should control it, the moment I think I know better, we do all these things where we grab onto things instead of saying, okay, Jesus, if I'm abiding in you, staying connected to you, and you've promised to stay connected to me, so then I should probably be asking you and connecting with you about what this should look like. What is the fruit of the decision I'm about to make? What is the fruit of the action I'm about to do? What is the fruit of the attitude of my heart? You show me so that I can do the right things. Staying connected. And then he tells us this really powerful, and if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away, like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire, and it's burned. And he's reminding us it's pretty serious stuff, too. It's pretty serious stuff to stay connected to the vine, because that's where forgiveness comes from. That's where eternal life, that's where all of the things that the benefits of Jesus come from, staying connected to the vine. And he warns them. And you know, I'm not a big preacher of judgment and not a hellfire and brimstone guy, but you can't skip the warnings, right? And he warns us here that if we don't, cut off and thrown away. That's a pretty serious thing as well. And then he gets right back in about abiding in verse 7. If you abide in me, if you stay connected with me, and my words abide in you, if my words are staying connected with you and living in you, he says, then you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. For this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. How will they know that you're my disciple? Is you're going to prove it by bearing fruit. And if you abide in me, stay connected to me, I'm going to give you my word and it's going to stay connected to you. And then if all of that is happening right, if I'm connected to the vine, the vine's connecting to me, I'm going to be asking for the right things. And when I ask for those things, the Father is going to answer that. Because he's going to be glorified when you and I bear fruit. So what this means, though, that it changes my prayers a little bit. Because I pray for things that are important, and I want to invite you to pray for these things as well. Your car breaks down, it's a big deal, pray. Pray for provision, pray that it gets fixed. You get sick, you fall on the back step and you land and you go, Lord, please help me not break anything. Help me to be able to walk tomorrow. When I got that text, I was like, man, I hope I'll be able to walk tomorrow. I was pretty fine, but when you fall like that, you're not sure what the next day is going to look like. All those things are important. Pray for those things. But there are other things that he wants us to be praying for as well. I've been talking to you about bold prayers. Are you praying for the homeless people that are out in the cold right now? Are you praying for that friend of yours that's struggling with an addiction? Are you praying bold prayers that God would turn your heart and open your eyes to see his glory and his love and his mercy? Maybe your heart has become wounded or hardened. Are you praying bold prayers that God would open your eyes and your heart to see him in a new and fresh and biblical way? Are you praying for politicians? Are you praying for decisions that are happening in the world? Are you praying for marriages in our church? Are you praying for the kids that are going off on missions trips? Are you praying for, you fill in the blank, but are you praying big stuff? Yeah, I want to pray for my car, and you pray for my cars when they break down too. We want to pray for Jason when he's got the flu. It's important. But I want to pray that people come to faith in Jesus. I want to pray that we see revival. I want to pray that we see baptisms. I want to pray that we see people passionate about the word. I want to pray that we see the Holy Spirit working in people, that people are doing stuff. And you're like, I didn't think you would be interested in doing that. Where we see people sharing their faith with other people, where we see people caring for people that are in need. I mean, you fill in the blank what it looks like, but he wants to do a powerful work in and through us. And he's saying, if you are abiding in me and I in you, you're going to be praying for those kinds of things, and I'm going to answer. I'm going to show up. And that's why I keep asking you to pray bold things, because he's going to answer. He's going to show up. And then he says this, but this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, so that you prove to be my disciples. Now get this, and if you've lost me, come back. This is it. Jesus is saying in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, think of the love that God the Father had for the Son. Think of how unimaginable it is for us really to get that concept. As the Father has loved me, God the Father, God the Son, together for all of eternity past, and God the Father sends him to earth, and throughout his whole journey, he talks about how much the Father loves him and how much he loves the Father. But listen to this. As the Father has loved me, Jesus says, so I have loved you. You are loved with the same love that the Father had for Jesus. That is profound. The love that the Father had for Jesus, who has been with him for all of eternity, co-equals, that is the love that he has for you. Do you believe that? Have you experienced that? And so he says, stay connected to that love, because the love that that the Father has for me, I've shown that to you. Here's the thing, man. Over the years of ministry, I have found people say, well, yeah, Jesus loves me because he has to love me. And I'll ask him, and I used to work at a college, and so for 20 years I would ask this question to people who are in a deep place of groaning and struggle with the Lord. And I'd say, does he like you? And I'm not kidding you, 90% of the time people would burst out into tears. God loves me because he has to love me, but he doesn't really like me, is what they were saying. He would rather be done with me because I screw up. I sin. I make a mess of things. I don't do it all right. I doubt. I have questions. I want you to hear this morning that Jesus is saying the same love that the Father has for Jesus, Jesus is expressing that same love to you and me. It's not qualified. It's not qualified if you get it all right and you do it all right and all your steps are in the right direction. Jesus loves you and he likes you. He made you. He created you. And he just wants you to abide in him so that he can do the work in you that he wants to do, so that you'll be transformed into the image of his son, Jesus. I just think this is a beautiful verse right here. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Stay connected to the love of Jesus. Do you feel connected to the love of Jesus? Are you connected to the love of Jesus? Here's the great part. Even if you don't feel like it, you're connected. Because his love is what matters. His love for you. And now he's saying, just come on back and abide in that. Stay connected to it. So as the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Abide in my love. Stay connected to it. And if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He's saying, I kept my Father's commandments so I could stay connected to his love. Here's the thing, and this is another important little nuance this morning. He's not saying, keep my commandments so that I will love you. That is not what he's saying. Saying, keep my commandments so that you will abide and stay connected to my love, because when you go your own way, you are separating from me and doing your own thing, and I can't work when you're doing your own thing. He's not saying if you don't keep his commandments, then he's not going to love you. He's saying if you keep my commandments, you're going to abide in my love. You're going to stay connected. But if you go off and do your own thing, you're going to disconnect from my love. I'm not going to disconnect, but you're going to disconnect. And you're going to go over and do your own thing, and it's going to make a mess. So stay connected, just like I, Jesus, said, I stayed connected to the Father. I didn't go off and do my own thing. Now, here's the thing. Would God the Father have loved Jesus less if Jesus had disobeyed? Now, the whole universe would have been a catastrophe if that happened. Salvation wouldn't be available to any of us. But there's no indication that the Father would love him less. But he stayed and abided with the Father's love and stayed connected to the Father's love. And that's what helped him to be obedient to the Father. And so he's calling us to stay connected so that we can walk in obedience and to keep his commandments, because that's what's going to be good for us as well. So he says, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, you'll stay connected, just as I've kept my Father's and abide in him. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I'm telling you all this, Jesus said, for your good and for your joy. So that if you stay connected and abide in me, then it's going to impact how you live out your faith and obey my commandments, and that's going to be joyful for you. Because God's way is always more joyful than our way. We often go our own way, right? But God's way is more joyful, is better. And I'm offering you that today to say to be obedient to him is for your good and for his joy. And here's one of the commandments that he gives us. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Tell you what, we will not be able to love one another if we're not abiding and staying connected to the love of Jesus. We're not that loving. We're going to be focused on ourselves. We're going to focus on what this means to us, my decisions, how they're going to impact me. But if I'm staying and abiding in Christ, the Father is shown the love that he has to Jesus, and Jesus is showing me that love, that means I can actually show you the same kind of love. That's crazy. That's crazy to me. That the love that the Father had for Jesus, Jesus expresses that love to me, and I actually, through the power of now this Spirit, can express that love to you? What in the world? That you can actually express that to the person sitting around you? The love that the Father has for Jesus? This is kind of for me. It's amazing. And then he gives us an example. He says, greater love has no one than this, than that someone lay down his life for his friends. That we would actually look across this building and go, yeah, I'll lay my life down for you. Well, I don't hardly even know you. You might say. But that's the beauty. When we have Christ, we will look at another brother or sister and say, I'm supposed to love you in that kind of a radical way, and I don't even know you that well, but that's what's so radical about the gospel. A love for you because you have the love of Jesus in you as well. I think it's powerful and blows my mind to think that this is what it looks like. That the love that the Father has for the Son shows us by laying down his life and then calling us to have that kind of love for others. It's radical. It's a radical call. Because he says, greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for his friends. And then he says this beautiful thing. Now think about this. He's sitting there with his disciples. He's about ready to die. He's talking to the 11. And this is what he says. He goes, you're my friends. If you do what I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Now, you and I, everything that God made known to Jesus has been made known to us. And he calls us friends as well. And he goes, I'm sharing everything that the Father wanted me to share with you. So that you could know what his will is, you could know what he wants, you could know the way to salvation, you could know who God is. And then he says this powerful thing. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. There it is again. And here's this beautiful picture. It's Jesus who has chosen you. You might say, well, I chose Jesus, but I'm telling you right now, your heart was too hard for you to do that without Jesus taking that hard heart and cracking it open with the power of his Spirit. And he appointed that you should go, all of you who have put your faith in Christ, myself as well, to go and bear fruit. The kind of fruit that happens when you stay connected to the vine. The kind of fruit that happens when you abide in Christ and stay connected to Christ. And he says, when you're doing that, whatever you're asking in my name, I'm going to do it. And he says, these things I command you so that you will love one another. All this I'm doing, he said, so that you will love one another and be a radical community where you're loving one another and walking in obedience. And that can only happen if you stay connected, abiding in the vine, which is Jesus. So what is it that I'm hoping that you will take from this today? One is just the radical, powerful nature of the love that Jesus has for you. Put your name in it. Years and years of doing this, one of the great struggles that sometimes we have is believing that Jesus really loves us that much. The same love that the Father has shown to Jesus, Jesus has shown to you. Ah, man, that's so profound. Grab it today. Drink it in. Let it overwhelm you today. That's the love that he has for you. Usually, we end up on one of two sides of things, and so here's today part of the application of this. For some of you today, maybe God's Spirit is talking to you about taking obedience more seriously. Because this passage talks about obedience, right? If you're staying connected to the vine is going to nourish you and give you the power of the Spirit and the power of Christ to help us walk in obedience. And so for some of you today, it's obedience that you need to take more seriously. And I'm going to let the Holy Spirit sort that out, okay? Some of you today, it's his love for you that you need to take more seriously. We usually fall on one side or the other. Maybe for you today, it's all of it together. But for some of us, we need to take that more seriously and really truly understand his love for you. So I'm going to ask you to pray, whether it's obedience that he's really trying to hammer home to you today, or if it's a greater understanding of his love. Or maybe for you, it's going to be both of those things tying together. They should probably tie together, but we tend to struggle with one more than another. And then I'm going to invite you to pray bold prayers like I've been talking about. But this is a little different. I want you to pray boldly that you would abide or stay connected to Jesus and his love. that you would say, Lord, I need your help to stay connected to the vine. Now, there's some things I need to do and can do to stay connected, but for the most part, I need the vine's help to stay connected. I need Jesus' help. And so I'm going to invite you to pray boldly that he would help you to stay connected to the vine, that he would help you to abide, that he would help you to look to Jesus for strength and sustenance and growth instead of going over here trying to do it on your own. So one is to pray that Jesus would help you to abide or stay connected to his love. The second one is that you would stay connected to Jesus through obedience. That these two things would not be separate, but they would come together. And that you would pray, Lord, help me to stay connected to your vine and connected to your love. And then help me to stay connected to you through obedience. Because when I go and do my own thing, I disconnect from the vine. And the end result is what we saw at the end of the passage. And I'm going to ask you to pray boldly that you would love others as the Father has loved Jesus and Jesus has loved you. That's where this really gets fleshed out in real time in the real world. Praying that we abide and stay connected to the love of Jesus. Praying that we abide and stay connected through obedience so that the result will bring honor and glory to the Lord as we love others, as the Father loved the Son and the Son loved us. For whatever reasons, that extra layer has just struck me. You know, love people like Jesus loved me, but he's saying Jesus loved me like the Father loved him. Man, that's just beautiful. And that's how Jesus is loving you. And Jesus is saying, abide in me, stay connected to me, and you will love other people that way too. And then he makes it even harder in other passages because he'll say, you'll even love people you don't like that way. You'll even love your enemies that way. You'll even love those who have hurt you. You'll even love those who have treated you in ways that you think you could never forgive them, you could never get right with them. And Jesus says, guess what? That's kind of how it is between you and me. You couldn't do anything to fix it. I did, and I forgave you, and I loved you, and now I'm calling you to do that in the lives of other people as well. I'm going to invite you to take a moment and just bow your heads. I pray the Lord is speaking to you in some way this morning. Would you just listen to what he might be saying to you? And then we're going to spend some time in worship and close with a time of communion as well. So let's pray together.